pieces of a whole with different feelings to evolve. Giving distinction to the role, different players, different strokes.
But let me tell you.
Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. I'm Mike Rayleigh. Rufus Edmonston, the former Attorney General and Secretary of State and current Attorney, Secretary General of Gardening, is that correct?
Well, that's what Elaine Marshall said.
Okay, well, you are that officially, so welcome. Mart Bumgardner is retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, Airborne, 82nd Airborne, and now... for several years. How many years have you been the extension?
Almost 10 years.
Extension horticulturist at the Orange County Cooperative Extension Service. And we are at Lewisburg College. I am thrilled to be here because my mama went to school here in the 1930s, I believe, and went to East Carolina. And she was from Lewisburg out on 561, all the heights. Grew up, eight brothers and sisters out there. So we have quite, I didn't grow up here, but have quite a connection to this place. It is such a beautiful town. All of the historic homes, and Mark Pace is with us from the Tar River Cultural Historic River Center. And thank you for joining us, Mark, to talk about the history of this area.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for being here today.
Well, we're thrilled to be here. This is coming home in
a lot
of ways.
I'll just give you a little bit. I'm with the Tar River Center for History and Culture, and they're affiliated with Lewisburg College. Tar River Center for History and Culture is a lot to say, so we just call ourselves the TRCHC.
Gotcha. That might be even harder for me.
I don't know.
See, that's CRT. No.
But just to give you a little background, the Tar River it starts in Person County and it runs through Granville, Franklin, on down, and it down east, as they say, and becomes the Pamlico River in Washington, North
Carolina. I didn't know it started in Person County.
It did. I've been to the actual site where it
did
started.
Did you know that, Rufus?
I certainly did.
Did you hold a campaign event there at the head of the...
I probably did.
The river. The mouth.
It's about 3 foot wide. I've stood over the Tar River.
It is so that is too cool.
That's kind of like the Jordan River.
Well, Mark, it's like the new river in Boone started over in Little thing about 2 feet in Blowing Rock.
Yeah, and
the new river, the oldest river, second oldest river in the country and in the world, the second only river that runs from south to north. So I love rivers.
Well, I've always thought it was so ironic that the oldest river is called the new river.
Well, that's
quite ironic.
Yeah, that's how old it is. Yeah. It was new,
but. We specifically are engaged in the upper Tar River Basin area, which basically includes what would be Edgecombe, Franklin, Granville, Halifax, Nash, Vance, Warren, and of course part of Person County too. What we seek to do is we want to promote a sense of community and shared history by helping people of all ages and backgrounds to explore the... We have a rich architectural culture and history here in the upper region of the Tar River. We seek to work with local governments and private organizations, educational institutions, and individuals. And what we seek to do is to develop the region's historical and cultural assets. We want to use that to foster economic development and promote knowledge and promote the past. And... we feel like this region has a rich culture and history. Native Americans inhabited this area early on, about 10,000 years ago. Most of the original settlers here came from Virginia. Of course, shock of all shocks, the production of cotton and tobacco had bolstered the region's economy. Now, Rufus, this will be something you'd be interested in. In that those counties, that this area, we have 230 structures that are on the and sites that are on the National Register of Historic Places.
Oh my goodness! Yes, I mentioned to Mike coming up.
Yeah, driving down Main Street here in Louisville.
All those beautiful homes, and my wife Linda was at one time head of Historic Preservation and Cultural Resources Department. So I learned all about historic preservation, and. We live in a National Register home.
I thought you did, yeah.
Yeah, built in 1921 by Raleigh's first orthodontist. And we have bequeathed it to Preservation North Carolina. And I looked at telling Mike coming in, we saw all these beautiful old homes. It reminds me of Wilson, North Carolina, and we knew that tobacco did that. What was it here in Lewisburg
like
that
said,
brought on those beautiful homes?
Shock of all shocks, it was tobacco. It's tobacco and then cotton. And I will say, too, one of the really unique things about Lewisburg is Lewisburg College, which was founded in 1787 and is the oldest continuously operating two-year college in the United States. There was tobacco money here, but having the college here also fostered a sense of community and that it was a very literate population here. They were well-read. They were well-versed. And it was kind of, quite frankly, a beacon of enlightenment in an academic sense and in a literary sense, but in this area.
And like Duke, Lewisburg College was affiliated with the Methodist
That is correct.
Conference
yes.
at one time for many years. So, it certainly has grown a lot.
It has. It's like a lot of places in North Carolina. There's been some fundamental changes that have occurred in the last 15 or 20 years with the growth of Raleigh and Durham, and you know I think Franklin County is now actually included in the Raleigh-Durham metro area.
Very well, could be. A lot of people have lived here and worked in Raleigh.
And by the way, Mike, just I want to mention, too, this is part of our outreach program. This is part of we have a speaker series associated with the Tar River Center. And if you'll allow me, I'll
allow you. If you want to yodel, you can do that. Rufus will accompany you.
Don't tempt me.
As a singer.
But we've had some. This is our second program of a 5-part series we're doing this year. Bill Leslie had come in recently and spoke to us.
Good friend.
Our next program after this one, appropriately enough, will be at 11 a.m. on November the 11th. And that'll be the 440th Army Band. They'll be performing here at the Jones Art Center at 11 o'clock on November the 11th. We also have Travis Cherry coming here. He is an alumni of Lewisburg College. He's a 2-time Grammy-nominated music producer and musician.
How about that?
We've got Lewis Bowling coming in February, and he's written about 10 books on as many topics as diverse as the weightlifting, the Oxford Masonic Home, and the history of Duke basketball. And then just to let you know, about our series, in the past we've had people, a really diverse group of speakers. Rufus, I think you were invited to speak with us.
That was so many years ago. I sang and you ran me off.
But you got a nice baritone voice.
You sang?
Well,
Were you supposed to speak, but you sang?
Well, I took to this, they had a band here for some reason, and I don't know, it was in my heart. I grew up Southern Baptist, Three Forks Baptist Church, and I decided they needed me to sing Amazing Grace.
Well, that's great.
I don't want my friend Lucy back here to hear all this stuff. We need to talk to her about it. Of course, I don't need to tell her. She knows.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to mention, too, we've got Dawn Landis coming. She is a North Carolina-based singer and songwriter you might be familiar with. Nina Freelon has come here before, and
She has such strong Durham roots in her. Mm-hmm. Was it her father that was the world-renowned architect?
That's correct.
Freelon.
Yes. Yeah. Jason Brown, a retired NFL football player that lives here in Franklin County, he's spoken with us before.
Is he the farmer?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
And,
he's
got a really unique approach to farming, which is he'll only grow something that you can eat directly from the field.
Wow.
In other words, sweet potatoes,
sure.
apples, whatever, but no process, nothing that needs to be processed.
He's done a lot for a lot of people.
He has done a heck of a lot for people in this
area. I think he's bigger than Mart, too.
Yes, yes, he certainly is.
He is definitely giving back to the community. He's originally from my hometown of Henderson, North Carolina. But those just are some of the people that we've had come and speak to us. Scott Mason has talked to us before. Rob Christensen.
Of the show.
He did a nice program on the Scott family, the history of the Scott family.
Yeah, and he has a new book about the News Observer.
Yeah, yeah. Just a nice, diverse group of topics and subjects. And so, again, we welcome you guys here today.
Thank you very much. Tell us about some of these houses.
There's a historic district here that's been declared a historic district. Most of these houses were built 1850 to 1900, along in that range. Governor Bickett's house is just a block down the street. He was governor of North Carolina during World War II. World War I.
Yeah.
He was from this area. The Yarborough family, the Allen family, the Fuller family, Edwin Wiley Fuller, who was actually mayor of Lewisburg, I think, at the age of 26.
Wow.
He became a very well-known writer in the early part of the century. He unfortunately died of tuberculosis at a very early age in his 30s. But he wrote a book called Sea Gift and other poems. Helen Tucker was a well-known writer from this area. But going back to the homes, a lot of these homes were originally what I would call like a vernacular Greek revival. They were based off of 1840s, 1850s. It was a style that was very popular in Piedmont, North Carolina. Familiar with that term.
I noticed that coming in.
And then, like I said, as tobacco took off, particularly after the Civil War and with the invention of cigarettes and having Mr. Duke's facility not too far away, the soil here was particularly good for growing blue cure tobacco, which is bright leaf tobacco, which is great for cigarettes.
Mark Pace, thank you very much for joining us. Tar River Center for History and Culture here at Lewisburg College for the WPTF Weekend Gardener. More coming up. WPTF time is 8:20. We're back. We're back on WPTF. Obviously, what, Rufus?
Well, I'm not going to answer your question because it delved into personal matters.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we do that. We apologize. We are at Lewisburg College. We're so glad to be here. We're at the C.B. Jones Cultural Arts Center. And we're glad to have people up and listening and actually sitting in here with us this morning. It's nice. We're going to talk to Representative Eagles, Mayor Eagles, coming up about gardening maybe after we take a break for news. But, Mart, you've got something coming up
about
the Extension Service.
I'd love to talk about it. It's Plant Fest. We've been having a Plant Fest about the last 4 years now, and we've outgrown our space. It used to be at the Bonnie B. Davis Ag Center, and so this year we decided we wanted to bring in partners, friends, like the Audubon Society, Porch, Table, the Forestry Service, the Prescribed Bird Association, and to be part of our educational effort for the community. So it's going to be a community event. It's October the 11th. That's next Saturday, a week from today, at Blackwood Farm Park on Highway 86 in Chapel Hill. So if you can come out, please do. We're going to have people enter Hope. We're going to enter our parking area. Will be in Hope Church Road. And as you come in, you'll have to walk a little bit to get up. But we'll have, obviously, plants there to purchase. We've got over 3,000 plants to purchase.
My goodness.
Yeah, we've been growing them all year long, and it's going to be phenomenal. We've got a fire truck coming. We've got, like I said, a lot of different things, tool sharpening. We've got invasive species.
Can I have a knife fight or something?
It could be.
Tool sharpening. Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's always
important. So people can bring their own tools, and we'll show them how to sharpen them, and then they put them back in the car and then walk around and look at the other booths. We're going to have music there and food trucks, and it's from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And it's just going to be a fun-filled day for the whole family.
Yeah.
So just come on out and enjoy yourself.
Do you have native plants?
We certainly do. We've got a lot of native plants. I mean, the plants list, if you go to ncplantfest.org, you can take a look at our plant list of everything that we've got to offer. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And so come on out and enjoy it.
What's the date again?
October the 11th. That's next Saturday.
Yeah.
In Hillsboro, or it's, correction, it's between...
And it's not at the extension service.
It's not the extension office. It's at Blackwood Farm Park. It's just going to be a great opportunity off of Highway 86.
Now, you mentioned the special garden that you have at the extension center. How is that going? How is that developing?
Oh, man, that's great to ask. I'll tell you a funny story. We sowed it early in the... Well, we sowed it in around June. With seeds that I'd purchased from Mellomarsh. And so as the seeds started germinating, I went out and started looking, and I said, gosh, look at all this ragweed that's out here. And I started pulling out these plants, and there were some other plants that are considered invasive, sedges and stuff like that, that I really didn't want there. But this ragweed was driving me nuts. And so I let it go for a while. And then realize it's not, it was actually one of the plants that I planted. I've been pulling out as weeding it.
Well, that's great. A horticulturist and all.
But I tell you what, it's beautiful right now. It's lovely yellows. It's got beggar tick. It's got some beautiful, beautiful plants out there.
All ironweed, the swamp daisies, all kinds of things are blooming now. That everything has been pretty this year.
It certainly has. We had the right of rain recently that has really put in a kick to it, and it's just looking beautiful.
Well, yeah. Martin, I've noticed a lot of people are doing wildflower gardens now. I've got a lot of space in my 2.5 acre acreage, and I'm having wildflower spots, and I have lots and lots of Maximilian sunflowers.
Yeah.
So maybe we can talk about
Rudbeckia.
Rudbeckia. Let's talk about wildflower gardens.
We'll do that. Coming up here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener from Lewisburg College. Back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayleigh here, Rufus Edmondson. Okay. You got a backup? What is that, Rufus?
That's a mellow yellow.
A mellow yellow, okay. And Dr. Pepper and all of that. So Rufus will be hydrated today, if nothing else. Mark Bumgardner is with us, extension agent in Hillsboro, Orange County, Cooperative Extension Service. And we're at Lewisburg College, and Tar River Center for History and Culture is what we talked about a lot this hour. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF, if you'd like to join us. So we'll be talking with Billy out at the State Farmers Market sometime in the 9 o'clock hour, as we do. The State Farmers Market, always it's a long tradition with WPTF for... Gosh, at least 70 years, I guess, they've been part of our programming on the old Farm Hour. Maybe longer than that, but I think it's about 60, 70 years.
And, so it didn't always used to be 3 hours.
This show was 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
For 40 years.
That just how you just get started.
And then John Harris, who was a professor at NC State, started it in 1945. And then He retired. We took over in 1985 and made it into a talk show. I mean, I didn't, but that was the vision of the station. And John read letters, and so we talked.
That's
we actually
email.
Talked to people. Yes, it was long before email.
That's a lost art, you know, writing a letter.
Yeah, we continue to get letters for a long, long time from people, and they would send us. Think about John's show. They would send weeds and bugs, dead bugs, and all kinds of things in there for identification, and they would continue to do that, so you didn't know what was going to jump out at you.
That's right.
Possibly if they weren't.
Well, funny story. I had an insect that someone brought in a plastic bag, and I sent it to the plant disease and insect clinic at the university, and the next and it wasn't a bed bug. It was a bat bug. Okay.
Nice.
Very similar to a bed bug, but it was a bat bug. And it was a funny story of how in the world it got into this lady's bed. And you're wondering. And she had an open area. They had bats in their belfry.
Nice.
That's right. And it was funny because...
Wait a minute. I was just talking about how the Weekend Gardener started. How the heck did we get here? Go ahead.
But anyway, so whenever I sent the insect to the plant disease and insect clinic, they sent me an email and said, please make sure you kill them before you send them to us next time.
That's always that's a rule number one.
That's right. Don't send us live insects.
So John read letters for 15 minutes. I can't imagine that's such a short time. But I did the show with him a few times before he retired. That may have been why he retired. But Irv Evans, who was the Wake County Extension agent, and I started, and we changed the name out of respect to John. John was the Tar Heel Gardener. So that's how that all started, and it's evolved into 3 hours. We started out with half an hour and taking calls. So,
but the time just moves so fast.
It does. It does.
Campus Fugit? Yeah. Mike, something near and dear to your heart and mine.
Yeah.
Super Kids. 31 years ago, I formed something called the Extra Special Super Kids Program. Over the past 31 years, we've had 128 kids who have gone to college, who otherwise would not have been able to go to college without our help. We're in some 14 different universities, and we're having our annual event on October the 29th at Pam's Farmhouse on Western Boulevard. And if Lucy remembers, that used to be the seafood place back in the day on Western Boulevard.
Neptune's Galley,
yes. And so Michael is a great supporter, and we're going to have some kids there to tell you how it's impacted their lives.
Young people.
Young super kids.
Otherwise wouldn't have a chance to go to college.
We've got one doctor who came from very humble beginnings, is now practicing medicine. We have a young lady who works for Congresswoman Deborah Ross, who is in her constituent services, and very proud of her. So it's a good organization, and I'm very proud of it. You're often rattling off all these things that I've done in the past, so I'm more proud of this than any other one thing, and so I aggravate people about this, but it's important.
Yeah, sure is. And that's
October 29, 5:30, Pam's Restaurant. And for the next person that comes into this building, I've got a book for them. It's called That's Rufus. If you want to,
They have to want the book. And they have to ask for the book.
My friend here, Dwight, brought two books in a while ago when we were going to have a book signing here in Lewisburg, and the pandemic got us. So he's about 6 years late. But the next person that walks in the building, we'll give them a Rufus book.
Okay. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. When we come back, I want to talk about what we were discussing about the wildflowers, wildflower bed. On the Weekend Gardener here at Lewisburg College at the Jones Performing Arts Center here in Lewisburg, North Carolina, on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We'll be right back. Shotgun WPTF with Weekend Gardener here in Lewisburg at Lewisburg College at the Jones Performing Arts Center. And we were going to talk with Rufus about where he just got, was he politic? He's cutting a deal somewhere. What the heck? All right. So, Mark, Rufus and I were talking about wildflowers. Do you all have a wildflower garden?
Well, what I did was produced a meadow garden. It's called a meadow garden.
Yeah.
And so it's basically that's what it is. And I just went to Mel Marsh and got a seed mix. And it's got a beautiful, it's really a lot of yellows. This year I plan to plant things like columbine, to seed in some columbines, some poppies into it. I'm planning to put in some grasses like Indian switchgrass. I'm planning to put in some little blue stem.
There's so many grasses.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It just
incorporate.
Makes it gorgeous.
And I guess y'all are selling a lot of those next week at the plant
store. We are.
Muley grass, which a lot of people have, can't have too much of it.
That's right.
Especially in the winter.
So I need to make a correction. It's plantfestnc.org. I said NC Plantfest. It's plantfestnc.org.
Okay.
Is our website. Go there, click on plant sale, and then look at the list. There's a little icons at the very beginning. It's got like a little pink flower that shows all the native plants. I would say probably the majority, probably at least 50-60% of the plants that we're selling are native plants. So, yeah, it's
well, the botanical gardens would be happy about that.
Yes, absolutely. We're trying to push people to go to purchase native plants because they don't require as much water. They grow well in our habitat, and they don't need a lot of extra nutrients that you have to push them with putting a lot of fertilizers on. So native plants really make a lot of sense.
Rufus, we were going to talk about your wildflowers. Mart says he is starting a wildflower garden.
Yeah, well, I started last year, and I roughed up the land somewhat with a tiller. I sowed about October with a wildflower mixture from Wyatt Quarrel Seed Company. And the beautiful poppies and all sorts of things. And, of course, as the time goes on, you're going to have weeds, but that's part of a wildflower garden. And now my question is, okay, it's now full of weeds. The things have faded. I have different people tell me different things. One person, our friend Nelsa Cox, said, cut it all down, chop it up with a lawnmower. Well, I don't want to put all those weeds in there. So, Mark, what is your suggestion?
How you said it's half an acre?
Well, I'm not doing a half an acre. It's as big as this room, maybe.
Okay. The hardest, easy, is to go hand pull. Yep, hand weed. Okay, because you know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to pull it out. However, you know, you can always go in and burn it.
There we go back to this arson stuff.
That's why I was kind of snickering, because I was thinking, well, you need to burn that. But
well, that would be interesting, Rufus, for you to have that going on out there.
If you just don't let it go to seed.
I'm afraid that already has.
But. Yeah, and so that's where you're going to compete with your weeds next year, is because the seeds are dropping off and going to self-seed itself. So your annual weeds, they're going to come back.
Yep.
So as you see them pop back up, then hand pull them.
Okay. Now, preparation. I'm going to, beginning this afternoon, after I take my nap from getting up at the crack of dawn to get to wonderful Lewisburg, I'm going to cut the tips off of the things that are the wonderful things and spread the seed.
Right.
Or put it in a bucket for later use. And then weed eat it. And sort of dig it up again. Is that about what you do?
I would not do that. I would just, if you're going to do anything, I would just let it stand. Take your seeds, collect your seeds, and I've been collecting seeds all week. and putting them in a bucket and putting them in a brown paper bag to dry.
Right.
So you don't want all that moisture to build up in a plastic bag. So paper bag, or put them in a bucket, something that air can get through. And so dry your seeds so you can collect those. But what I would do is, if you've got anything that has like woody stems, I would just let them stand because it creates a lot of habitat for insects. And there, you have insects that lay, like the wasps that lay inside of stems. Mm-hmm. And so I would just let them stand and wait for the spring. And then in the spring, then I would, before, you know, if you're gonna be, you said you're gonna seed real soon here in October, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're gonna seed in October, you could knock it off. You could weed eat a little bit to get the debris down. So you want the seeds to have good seed contact with the soil.
But don't rough it up anyway.
But you don't need to rough it up because the wildflowers don't need that. They don't need to be tilled. They don't need to be covered. You don't need to put any kind of soil on top of it.
I know that's true, especially true of poppies.
That's right.
People wonder why their poppies won't germinate. You don't cover them.
That's right. You just got to throw them out there. So that's my plan as well. I'm going to be throwing poppies out there in November, December.
Okay.
And then I've got some other plants that I've got, I've got columbine that I'm going to be planting in November. So just a little bit later. So it will self-stratify over the winter. And then first thing in the spring, we're going to see this beautiful mass of oranges and beautiful mm-hmm. color of columbine and these reds of the poppies popping out.
Yeah,
so I'm really excited.
You want to get seeds that you can sort of determine at what stage will they come along, like all the beautiful yellows now. Of the what Mike and I call swamp daisies and
Well, I'll tell you, if you look at, and that's one of the things that one of my mentors was telling me is to take a look at the seeds and when they mature and when they flower, so that you have seasonal colors all year through. And I'm looking for some blues and pinks for my meadow.
Cosmos.
Pink, oh, that's
cosmos.
Yes,
pink cosmos.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful flowers. And so I'm very excited to see those grow. And my meadow's only 10 feet wide by 100 feet long. So it's not huge.
Well, you can. I see why you can hand weed that, my friend.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But my intent is to bring in the traffic on the highway because we've got a highway 70 runs just by our building, and I want people to see different colors and try to draw them into the extension office.
If you stand out in the road,
yeah, I could direct them. Yeah, but we've put new signage up, and we're doing a lot of things around. So our edibles, we've got vegetables, and we've got fruit trees right now. The persimmons are coming in. I mean, big, beautiful persimmons, sizes of baseballs.
The persimmons are there's one at the back of our station. There's a persimmon tree, a native one.
Yeah, American.
That,
yeah,
they are they're dropping dropping all over the place. I laugh every time I see somebody parked under the tree for shade. But that is not the ideal persimmon for making things for eating. Japanese persimmon is.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's seedless. It has, no seeds. It's got
it's bigger.
Much bigger, and you can eat it. There's some of them that are more astringent, meaning it won't turn your mouth inside out if it's underripe, but then there's some that are quite astringent.
Right. You were talking about seed saving, picking up.
Yes.
It seems tedious.
It's
People
not.
Are curious about that. How do you go about doing that?
It is not as tedious as you think. This past week, I went and collected something called Rattlesnake Master. It's a plant that grows about 6 feet. Do you have any Rattlesnake Master? It's
no,
got these
I, no,
big,
I don't.
Beautiful,
it has a bad
prickly.
Connotation.
Yeah.
You've known a couple.
It's got a seed head on it about an inch in diameter. And so I just take my snippers out there and cut them all off and put them in a bucket. And then I wear gloves and I just shed the seeds off and I collect those and then I'll be using those. We have a seed library, a group of ladies of our master gardeners that take those, we'll clean them and then repackage them and give those seeds away to the community. So
how do you know what you're looking for?
Well, you know what plants you've got in the ground. And so when you clip the heads, you know what plant it is. So you're collecting seeds that you know.
Now, would they be from the ground?
No. What we're growing is the plant itself, the purple echinacea.
You see it from the head of the plant.
Yeah. You're okay. Taking that because, I mean, for example, the purple echinacea are 3 feet tall, and you've got a clump of them. So you're just collecting the seed heads from the tops of them. And after it flowers, it'll drop its petals, and then that what's left, that pod where the seed is actually the seed head.
All right.
So that's what you're collecting.
Well, I have a peck bucket of 4 o'clocks if anybody wants some.
Oh.
4 o'clocks are wonderful, but boy, do they take over.
The seeds are...
Seeds, yeah, they're good sized, and 4 o'clock is a wonderful plant. And it blooms about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I time it, and they said, well, was it Eastern Standard or Western Standard?
For those who don't have it, what time of year? Is it a spring flowering,
all
a summer flowering?
Spring and all through. It blooms the whole season. But very, very, I'm not going to call it invasive because I like it, but it will take over. But it's
but
just
you can
a
say that
plant.
About columbine, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And hellebores.
And hellebores, yeah.
Hellebores are starting to come out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It certainly are, and you can see little seedlings are popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
Once it gets a little bit of moisture,
they are
the temperature.
At least the older varieties, the new ones are sterile.
Well, that brings another point. Ann used to say there's no plant that deers won't touch. Well, I can tell you one. They will not eat hellebore.
Even if they're really hungry.
They just won't do it. So I if you want to have something that spreads quickly... You want a flower that blooms at an odd time of the year, around late January and February, Christmas. They call it the Christmas rose. Get some hellebore.
And you know, it's a beautiful ground cover, and it certainly stabilizes the soil.
Very.
So, and it creates a lot of habitat for insects.
Yeah, and there is some color to the flowers.
Absolutely.
It's kind of a muted color, but you should. In your landscape, try to have something blooming year-round.
That's right.
That's what I try.
Easy to do, really.
At Myrtle Manor. And the hellebore are sort of the stepping stone. And I mentioned to my friend Lucy Allen, former representative, former mayor. We want to talk to her.
Mayor, are you a gardener? Are you a gardener?
Come on up.
Yeah, come over here and have a seat.
Come here.
We only have a couple of minutes before the hour is up. Come join us a minute. Just say hello. And Mayor, nice to have you with us. So you have somebody who does it for you, or you enjoy it yourself?
Betty Twiggs from Raleigh designed the backyard for me.
Oh, I remember her husband Howard very much. Legislator.
She's
Betty Twiggs.
I talked to her several months ago. She said the deer are invading Raleigh and getting in her yard.
They're all over Raleigh. And so I guess she needs hellebore.
Yeah. My yard is fully overgrown. It's one of these houses on North Main. The gentleman who kept it clean for me and weeded out is sick. And so I haven't had anybody. No, I'm not a gardener.
You're not? Okay.
No,
well, that's all right.
But
you love gardening, though. If somebody else does,
she's not again it.
No, I like having a. I'm a boxwood person.
Oh,
I grow with boxwood.
An aristocrat,
backyard,
huh?
Full of backyard of boxwoods. But I was going to ask Rufus, my daylily bed has been overgrown with ditch daylilies, which somebody was cleaning out and put them in for me. So I really wondered if you still had a Raleigh Daylily Society that used to be.
Absolutely.
Yes.
A gentleman calls in.
We have a guy who calls on
religiously.
Us a lot.
he will call today, Lucy, and I'm sure we'll ask him the question. Now's a good time to divide him, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, it certainly is.
I've seen some blooming. Apparently.
I've identified six that I...
Yeah, you hold in there. We'll talk to you some more after the news here on WPTF. We are at Lewisburg, at Lewisburg College. Just a gorgeous day here on Main Street. Just behind the library area and the Jones Performing Arts Center with a weekend gardener.